Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our virtual Sunday morning service here at the Pasco Community Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Brian Speroni, and I am so glad that you're able to join with us by way of Facebook this morning. Now, before we go any further in the service, let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time together. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together over the internet this morning to sing and pray and to hear from your word. We pray your blessing upon our time together. We pray that everyone listening will receive something this morning that will help them in their walk with you. We also pray this morning for those that are sick, that you touch them and heal them and raise them up. We pray, Lord, for those who have had loved ones pass away recently, and we pray that you comfort them and speak peace to their hearts. We pray, Lord, for the leaders of our nation, that you would give them wisdom as they make important decisions that affect each and every one of us. We pray, Lord, for those that are caring for the sick. We think of the first responders and those in the medical profession and those who work in hospitals in general. We thank you for their efforts, and we pray you protect them and bless them. We pray, Lord, for our military people. Many are serving our country right now to help us concerning the coronavirus, but many are serving in other places in the world, very dangerous places. We pray you'd watch over them as well. And Lord, we pray that as a result of everything that's taking place in our nation, that there would be a great turning back to you and to your word once again. We pray for our missionaries, and we ask you to bless them and their efforts across the globe. We think of the Sarah family this morning, as Brother John Sarah, a missionary to Zambia, went home to heaven this week, comfort his family and minister to them. And Lord, we pray that each one of us here will receive something from the Word of God today that will encourage us and bless us and draw us closer to you. And we pray, Lord, that if there's anybody listening that does not know Jesus in a personal way, we pray that today they'd open their heart, invite him in to be their Savior and Lord. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn in your Bible to Ezekiel 37, that's the passage we're going to be looking at in just a few moments, Ezekiel 37. And as you're turning there in your Bible to Ezekiel 37, I'm going to ask my daughter Katie to come and sing for us this morning.
Of millions bound by sin.
special music this morning. Quite a question in that song. If it were not for Calvary, where would I be today? That's certainly a question that everybody needs to consider. So thank you, Katie. We appreciate that special music. Now, if you have your Bible, Ezekiel 37 is where we're going to be this morning. And we're going to read verses 1 through 14 of Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the midst, in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, I want to begin my message this morning with a question. Are you anxious about everything that's going on in the world right now? Well, if you are, you're not alone. You see, this pandemic is new to all of us. It's not something that we personally have ever experienced before. There's no precedent for those of us living in the 21st century. There is no established response, and therefore you may find your emotions all over the place. And that's okay. That's normal. Because think about it. Just a few weeks ago, it seemed to most Americans that things were great and under control. We were healthy. Many were wealthy, planning spring break vacations and looking forward to Easter. And we were working while dreaming of the future, considering adding additions to our homes and spending frivolously, beginning to plan graduation parties. And then, and consider how astounding this is, a microscopic virus appears and suddenly causes the shutdown of the entire world. It brings things back into reality, doesn't it? I mean, we aren't invincible after all. Our social structures aren't impenetrable. We aren't God. Human-made security is just an illusion. And if the last few weeks haven't shaken our collective pride to the point of admitting that we're not God and we aren't invincible, I don't know what will. So then, how are we to really understand ourselves? During this coronavirus pandemic, many of us are tended to fear. We might experience anxiety and worry and fret and even despair and depression. Some people have lost their precious lives. Within the past 2 weeks, I've had a dear friend who has died from the virus. And then I have another preacher friend who is finally home from the hospital, but only after 5 weeks of being in intensive care. Some have lost those whom they love. Some have lived through the misery of the illness. Some have lost their jobs, their income, and almost all of us are dealing with major disruptions to the normal flow of our lives. So how are you dealing with this crisis? Do you have hope? Or do you feel yourself giving in to fear and anxiety? Well, in our scripture passage this morning, the utter hopelessness of Israel kind of mirrors our situation. It was a very dark time for Israel. Now, let me give you some background here. Ezekiel himself was exiled in Babylon for 11 years. And during this time, he delivered a message of doom and gloom. And then, about 586 BC, Jerusalem fell. And the temple was burned to the ground, and the Davidic monarchy came to an end, pretty much. So think about it. Everything they had ever trusted, everything that had given their lives shape and meaning was gone. And worst of all, in their eyes, their God had been defeated by the gods of the Babylonians. Could it be that their God wasn't really Lord at all? Or perhaps a God had deserted them in their darkest hour? You see, Israel was not only in exile, they were having a crisis of faith. And we hear their despair in verse 11, where they say, "Our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts." There's nothing but despair in their words and in their heart. But then, as it always does, God's grace breaks through. And Ezekiel goes from a prophet of doom and gloom to a prophet of hope, a prophet of revival and restoration, preaching about a glorious future of redemption. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, so let's go back. This prophet of doom and gloom says in verse 1 that the hand of the Lord picked him up and placed him in a valley of dry bones. What a dark night for the soul that must have been. Boy, that sounds like a great place to hang out, right? A valley of dead, dry bones. And I wonder, have you ever been there? That is, have you ever had a dark night of the soul? Have you ever looked upon your life and your situation in life and seen nothing but, metaphorically speaking, a valley of dead and dry bones? Imagine Ezekiel's situation. God gave him this vision, and all he sees, for as far as he could see, are bones. Old, dead, dry bones. Where's the hope? Where is the light? What good can come from here? How would you feel in Ezekiel's situation? It's like a bad dream that you desperately try to wake up from in order to escape the terror of it all. And then suddenly, God is asking Ezekiel a question. In verse 3, he says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I mean, it's almost laughable, right? We're talking about old bones with no flesh on them. They've been exposed to the elements for who knows how long. There is no life in them whatsoever. But God asks him the question, can these bones live? And I wonder what you and I would say if asked that question in that situation. For example, I wonder if we've ever written someone off. Have you ever gotten so frustrated with another human being that you said to yourself, there is no hope for this person. They will never change. They will never accept Christ. They will never get out of the muck and mess they're in. They're just going to keep on doing whatever they're doing until they die. I give up. Or how about not a person, but a situation? Maybe you're involved in a particular ministry of the church, and you're thinking, this ministry will never bear fruit. I don't see anything good coming from all my efforts. What's the use? Or maybe it's a job you have. Maybe you're looking at it and saying, boy, this is a dead-end job. There's no hope of advancement here. There's no future in this. Have you ever been in a situation like that? And that's just a few examples. It could be any ministry. It could be any situation. It could be any relationship where you fail, where you feel frustrated and discouraged. Well, that's like the situation Ezekiel is in. His people are at the lowest of the lowest points in their entire history. They're in exile. They're even forgetting who they are. And they're giving up on their God. Things have hit rock bottom. And these dry bones God is showing Ezekiel is an image or a picture or a representation of their condition. They are dead. They have no more life. It's over. All hope is gone. But then, God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And again, if you were in Ezekiel's place, what would you say? How would you answer that question? Or let's look at it from another angle. Perhaps you've been trying to get your life back on track for a long time. Perhaps you've been promising God for a long, long time that you would change. And nothing has changed. As a matter of fact, things have gotten worse. Your sins have become more perverse. Your attitude has become more rotten. And you have no joy, no peace, no happiness. If God showed you your life as it is now and asked, can these bones live? What would you say? Well, the answer is obvious, because dry bones are the very definition of dead, right? They're gone. They're not coming back. That is, but for God. Because all things are possible with God. And knowing that, Ezekiel chooses faith over despair. He answers God in verse 3, O Lord God, thou knowest. That is, sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer. And he places the entire situation in the hands of God. And the story of Ezekiel reminds us that life itself is utterly and totally reliant on God. And the story offers us a glimmer of hope. Hope that God and God alone can indeed bring new life even when everything seems to be completely hopeless and completely dead. Because nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with God. The prophet Jeremiah testifies to that for us in Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Just think about it. A valley of dry bones. That image seems so final, like it's the literal end of the road. It seems hopeless. Just like it's hard, almost impossible, for some people to have hope in the midst of all that's going on in the world right now. For instance, if you've lost your job due to the coronavirus, you may be feeling hopeless this morning. Or if you are about to graduate from college and you're searching for a job during this crazy time, you may feel that all hope is lost. Or maybe you have a loved one that you are so desperate to see, especially those who are drawing near to the end of their life, and you can't go visit them. Seems like all hope is lost. Well, here in our scripture passage for this morning, we see a picture of hope based on God's power, God's might, and God's ability. God instructed Ezekiel to prophesy, to preach to these dry, brittle, dusty, well beyond life bones. And so the hopelessness of Israel, the hopelessness of the dry bones, is not the end of their story. And that's because we see them come to life as sinews and muscle and skin again covers the bones. But you know, bones and skin and muscle are still, in a sense, just dead bones on their own. So God breathed his breath into them. And the word for breath here is the same word used back in Genesis when God created the first humans and breathed into them the breath of life. And it's also the same word used for the Holy Spirit who comes and lives and brings new life to all who will believe in Christ for salvation. I want you to notice again what we read here in verses 12 through 14 of Ezekiel 37. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. He says, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up out of them, and I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And so we see that absolutely nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely no situation is beyond repair. Absolutely no life is beyond the possibility of redemption and salvation and transformation. And just as God breathed new life into the valley, putting the lives of these dead people back together, God's promises are always a promise of new life. And so, my friends, as we face the unknowns, the uncertainties, the craziness of the coronavirus, as we watch this worship service on our computers rather than joining together in worship as we've always done, As we get cabin fever and listen to the frantic voices on the news, let's remember that we worship a God of resurrection power. And even though we may feel as if we're in a valley of dry bones and tombs of darkness, this corona situation is not beyond God's control. In these difficult times where hope seems lost and all seems to be at the end, God gives us breath, life-giving breath. And as we deal with this virus, and we sit in confinement in our homes and have all this time on our hands, my prayer for you and me as Christians is that we will, in a sense, take that breath and ask God to fill us and use this time to renew our spirits and bring us closer to Him than we've ever been before. Making this new life that we have experienced through faith in Christ more real than ever before. I pray that for every Christian in our church and really every Christian in the world, that this coronavirus thing will bring us to a place of spiritual renewal and spiritual revival and breathe new life into our churches and into our lives as we refocus our attention away from the world that is searching for answers and focus our attention on the God who is the answer. I'm praying that the coronavirus time that we're in will draw us closer to God than we have ever been before. And that there would be a great moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers, and that He would fill us with a new zeal and excitement for the things of God and give us a new appreciation for all that we have in Christ. I'm praying that as we have this extra time to spend with God in prayer and in His Word, that this coronavirus thing will bring about an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost-led, Christ-honoring, sin-cleansing, devil-defeating, church-transforming, life-changing revival in our hearts and bring a breath of renewed life and vigor to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that God will use the coronavirus to bring glory and honor to His name. And then as we bring this to a close this morning, let me say this. If you have never experienced new life in Christ, well, let me tell you, having this new life is as simple as taking a breath. Through prayer and faith, you invite Christ into your heart to be your Savior and Lord. And when you do, He gives you new life. A new transformed life down here and eternal life in heaven with Him forever. And so my advice is, receive Christ this morning. Open up your heart and invite Christ in to forgive your sin and to give you eternal life and a personal relationship with God and a home in heaven. Trust Him as your Savior and receive new life. The Bible teaches that without Christ, you're just like the valley of dry bones, spiritually dead. But when you receive Christ, you also receive new life that lasts forever. So why not bow your head with me right now and join me in this prayer, a prayer of inviting Christ to be your Savior and Lord. Are you ready? Bow with me right now and pray along with me. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe You died on the cross for my sins.
And I believe you rose again so that I could have eternal life and a home in heaven. I now turn from my sin and ask you to please come into my heart and cleanse me and make me one of your children. I now put all my trust in you for the salvation of my soul. Thank you for hearing my prayer and giving me new life in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, would you let me know? Would you contact me? You can email me at brypams@juno, that's juno.com. Or you can write me at Pasco Community Baptist Church, 111 Church Street, Pasco, Rhode Island, 02859. Or you can just pick up the phone and call me, 401-568-4963. And the reason I want you to contact me, if you prayed that prayer along with me this morning, is because I want to mail you something. But I need a mailing address in order to do that. Recently, I have revised a little pamphlet that I wrote many years ago called Water for New Sprouts. It's just a simple guide to help Christians get started in the right direction in their walk with God. And I'd love to mail you one free of charge, but I need a mailing address in order to do that. So if you'd like one of those pamphlets, please contact me, and I'll be glad to send you one. And I also would love for you to contact me so that I can rejoice along with you in your newfound faith in Christ and your new life in Him. Now, for our church family, I want to remind you that I love you and I miss you so much. And I'm praying for you every day. And if you need me, just call. Unfortunately, we don't know how much longer we're going to have to be meeting over the internet for church services. I certainly am glad we've been able to do this. But it's not the same as gathering together. But until then, we'll continue to work it this way. And I hope that you'll be able to join me again next week on my Facebook page right at this same time for more preaching of the Word of God. Now, before we close, just a reminder that after this service is done, it will also be posted on our church Facebook page. It will also be on our church website in an audio version. If you go to pcbcri.org and click on service, you'll find it there. And all of the videos that we've done over the past 6 weeks will be on our church YouTube channel. So just go to YouTube and type in Pasco. Make sure you put the word Pasco, because there's a lot of Community Baptist churches. Put Pasco Community Baptist Church, and it should take you right to them. And so again, I miss you, and hope to see you again next week on Facebook. But in the meantime, would you just remember this? God is still on the throne. God is still in control. And you can trust Him.